Well, welcome everyone. Welcome to our podcast, Sisters of the Holy Names, Women on a Mission. My name is Sister Teresa Shields, and I live in Seattle. And
Sister Mimi Maloney, and I live in Santa Cruz, California.
We are the hosts of this podcast, and we are thrilled to welcome two of our guests from Sunnyside, Washington. Sister Mary Rita Rohde and Katie have been working at Nuestra Casa, Katie for 3 years, and Mary Rita for much longer than that, but they will tell you their story in a minute. And they are in Sunnyside, Washington. But before we talk to them, we are going to start with our prayer.
Blessed Marie Rose de Roche, obtain for us today the audacity of faith, the simplicity of hope, the power of love, that we may actualize the words of Jesus. I have come to cast fire upon the earth, and would that it were already kindled. Amen.
Thank you, Mimi. So again, welcome, Mary Rita and Katie. We're so happy to have you as our guests today. So we'd like to hear the background of how and why you started Nuestra Casa so many years ago.
Okay, I'm very happy to respond to that. So at the beginning of 2002, I returned from a job with our sisters up in Quebec, Canada, and I came back to the Yakima Valley, which I know because I had been here previously teaching and being an administrator at Heritage University. When I came back, I interviewed 80 people, and I said, what is the greatest unmet need among low-income women and children in the lower Yakima Valley? And in that are basically four towns, with the largest being Sunnyside, Washington. And so I had asked our sisters and a couple of associates that live here if they would discern with me what we should do. And so I shared the responses of the 80 people that I had interviewed, and I did this either in ones or twos, or I think the largest group was actually had four people in it. So everybody got to say what they needed to. It was really obvious to all of us that the most vulnerable, the least served, the most oppressed were the immigrant women living here, predominantly from Mexico. And before it got very far, one of our older, very wise sisters, Sister Margaret Downey, said, well, and you're an educator through and through, Sister Mary Rita, I think you should do something in education. I said, what do the rest of you think? And everybody said yes. And so that was, you know, the result of my discernment and interviewing people about the greatest unmet need in the lower Yakima Valley. So from there, as a sister, I had to talk with our leadership team. And at that point, they were in Spokane, Washington. And I told them my idea and my discernment. And they said, I think it's wonderful. And they, you know, how are you going to fund it? And I says, well, I'd like the Sisters of the Holy Names to fund it for the first year and half of it for the second year, et cetera. Until now, we're a supported ministry by the Sisters of the Holy Names. And we're extremely grateful for the support of the Sisters of the Holy Names. Nuestra Casa would not be possible if it were not for the Sisters of the Holy Names of Jesus and Mary, and specifically at that time, the sisters in Washington.
Thank you, Mary Rita. That's a great background. Can you tell us a little bit about the demographics of the area in which you live, in Sunnyside, in the lower and the Yakima Valley? That would be helpful.
Okay. So the majority of people living in Sunnyside and in the unincorporated areas around it are Hispanic, they're actually the majority are immigrants. If you go by the statistics that the school district holds, they periodically ask all of the parents of children, what's the major language, what language do you speak at home? And 66% speak Spanish at home. Well, what I have learned while being here, if a family can speak Spanish or speak English, they will at home. It doesn't mean that they don't sometimes speak in Spanish, but for the sake of their children, that, you know, they really, in general, want their children to be educated. So they're encouraged in school to speak English. Another demographic that I became aware of, and several people told me that, the average grade level of the adults coming from Mexico to work in our fields and orchards and grape vineyards and hop fields, et cetera, the average grade level that they come with in Mexico is third grade. Mm. And a family can only send one or two children to school because the others have to work to make enough money for them to survive. It's more likely that the boy is going to be sent to school, not the girl. So sure enough, the grade level is quite low. So that's the demographic. Now, we have had one student who'd actually gotten a degree in Mexico and another one who'd gotten a degree in Costa Rica. So it wasn't that they were all that way, but we also had students who'd never gone to school. They couldn't read and write in their own language. Katie, I don't know if you want to share anything about demographics.
The demographics continue to be the same. A lot of immigrants, our county and our community will always be here and be receiving a lot of immigrants due to the agricultural nature that we are surrounded by.
Yes,
you've kind of, I'm glad, thank you for those demographics, and I'm glad that you kind of placed Sunnyside in an agricultural region where, there are a lot of crops around there. Again, you mentioned hops and grapes and orchards.
Yes. Fruit, apple.
Mm-hmm.
Good. So thank you. Mary Rita, in a few words, or Katie, in a few words, can you tell us the core mission of Nuestra Casa?
So the core mission was to educate and advocate for immigrant women specifically. It remains that Katie has done a lot of work with empowering also. So teaching the immigrants to, the immigrant women particularly, to advocate for themselves. Yes. Katie?
Yes, through education, empowerment, support, Nuestra Casa enables immigrant women to create positive changes in themselves, their families, and their communities.
Could you say that again, please? I just love that. It's beautiful. Say it again.
Through education, empowerment, and mutual support, Nuestra Casa enables immigrant women to create positive changes in themselves, their families, and their communities.
That is beautiful.
Thank you. So what services and programs did you start offering when you first started at Mary Rita?
So we had asked a number of people what do the immigrant women particularly need? And one of the first things we heard is very few immigrants had their driver's license. How were they getting out to the fields to work? They were driving. And we didn't limit this. We knew there were men driving too. So we kind of advertised, through the Spanish speaking radio and, work of people that we were going to start a driving, getting your driver's license class, not how to drive. They all knew how to drive. They were all driving. So we had it in the evening in a big room that could contain 45 people. So I went over and I happened to be the one. I welcomed the police officer who was teaching the class and with his PowerPoint, et cetera, in Spanish. And I registered the 45 people. Now, when I got in that particular building, there was no cars in the parking lot and there was nothing going on that night. So as I walked out after introducing the police officer, I thought, my gosh, the parking lot is full. And then I said, of course, sister, all driving, but they don't have licenses. And so I would estimate through the years, I don't think there's, we're not still doing those because they aren't needed. But through the years, we've helped hundreds of immigrants get their driver's license, which makes the roads safer for
everyone.
Everyone.
That is amazing. You took the need. And you responded to the need.
Yes. And that continues till today, as Katie will tell you in a bit. One of the things that I knew they needed was English as a second language. But yeah. I thought, you know, the local community college should be doing that. So I met with the president of the local community college and said, you know, you're not teaching any English or as a second language class down in the lower Yakima Valley. And yet they had a campus in Grandview, which is one of the towns that we serve. And she says, no, we're not. She said, we should be. And so she put somebody in charge. It happened to be the head of their agriculture department, not their English department. Anyway, that didn't fly very well. And we tried to get the school district to do it. In the end, we ended up realizing that we were the ones who could teach English as a second language. We also, one of the first things we did was start teaching Spanish literacy so the women could learn to read and write in their own languages.
Wonderful. Boy, right. Talk about meeting a need. So are those programs the same programs that continue today? Have you added any others to like the basic literacy and to the driving, learning how to drive classes?
Yes, ESL continues to be one of those legacy programs that will continue to evolve and grow as Nuestra Casa continues to serve immigrants. We now offer ESL classes in three different levels, both in the mornings and evenings. And, you know, as part of offering these ESL classes, we also offer childcare for the women or, you know, parents attending. We found out that most likely if women were not attending classes, most likely if women were not working, it was because they had a child
right. Not home. In school.
So that's how we started offering early learning services during ESL classes to make it accessible for women to participate. Many times we've had a classroom with one or two breastfeeding mothers, and everyone is supportive and understanding of that mother wanting to learn English. Some of the newer programs that we have is our citizenship program that has also evolved from offering citizenship education, which prepares individuals in becoming citizens through learning the 100 civics questions to how to answer questions during the interview, how that interview process goes, and what forms to be prepared to fill out, to most recently, as of the end of 2020, we began offering naturalization legal services, which is through the Department of Justice. We received recognition and accreditation to do that, where we can now offer naturalization legal services for low-income families at a very low price. We are very proud of that. And that's just another way that our programs continue to evolve based on what we hear the need is. A lot of our students said, you know, you already offer citizenship classes. What we really need is to have somewhere trustworthy to get assistance on actually filling out these forms accurately without jeopardizing their citizenship status. Another program that focuses on leadership and civic engagement is our Ciclo Verde program. It focuses on wildfires and education to build fire adaptable communities. A lot of our Washington communities have been affected by fires in different forms. A lot of our agricultural workers working out in the orchards have had to work even though air conditions are not the best because of the fire and the smokes that come over the mountain. So we're working together with different groups to educate our communities on wildfires and things of that nature. Other projects that are happening or that we're working on is paid family medical leave, helping our Spanish-speaking community apply for that, as well as continuing to connect women and men to domestic violence services and offering support. We are also continuing our COVID-19 support to families still being affected by COVID in any way that we can, to name a few.
To name a few, oh my heavens, this is amazing. I mean, Mary Rita did talk very well of you, Katie, but I don't think well enough. That is, the citizenship just touched me, and the whole legal aid, because it's a whole package. It's not a class or this. It's both, and it's the wraparound services that Nuestra Casa has done so beautifully, and how you pivoted with COVID and with the wildfires. Very flexible, amazing, and wonderful. So,
I just add something.
Yes. We have a few more questions, but go ahead, Mary Rita.
Katie has occasionally said to me is, we're asking the same question you did. What's the greatest need? Mm-hmm. And so they're looking at what are the greatest needs among the immigrant community here in the local valley. And Katie is now, one of the things she hasn't mentioned is, she's been able to find the money to do all of this. And
that's very important.
It is. And the help with the citizenship, if they went to a lawyer for that legal help, it would cost them between $700 and $1,100.
Yeah.
Nuestra Casa, for all of that, charges $60.
Amazing.
How is that? Those are really wonderful services. How, you mentioned that Katie now is getting funding. What was the funding at the beginning? You mentioned our community, our religious community. Were there other sources, and how has it been supported over the years? You know, I'm sure you have some paid staff and lots of volunteers. So could you speak to that?
Well, to begin with, you know, the Sisters of the Holy Name is fully funded at the first year and half of the budget for the second year. And at that time, we only had one full-time, that was me, and a couple of part-time. They were probably three-fourths time. And we did have a couple other sisters who came to work with us. So I went to other women religious communities and asked for donation. And to this day, the Sisters of Providence, based in Renton, Washington, have made donations. And originally we got some money from the Hilton Fund for sisters. So, and because I had raised money for Heritage University, I knew some of the people in the area who had money. So I went to them and asked. There's one particular couple that from the very beginning has given us at least $3,000 annually. And now I understand they're giving $3,500 without even being asked to up it. You know, so some of the, and there are a number of people who who have given $1,000 annually or $100 a month, however they want. One supporter who gives $25 a month, and she says, you know, it's not much, but it's what we can do. That comes out to $300 a year. You think how many immigrants can be helped with that? It's not insignificant. So, and then when Katie came on, so that's kind of how we started. When Katie came on, you want to say how many staff you have and some of the sources of funding?
Yeah, in the beginning, it was myself and two others. And throughout these last 3 years, we're now a total of 9 that we've been able to bring onto the team as Nuestra Casa has grown with the, you know, with the addition of programs. I've been very, I think, particular to include funding for new roles, which, you know, I think that's the only way that we can continue to offer services. One of my biggest concerns, especially through COVID, was making sure that our team was well rested and didn't burn out. We took breaks. We took planned days off for everyone that were mandatory. one of the things we also were worried in the beginning, at least for me, I was concerned, you know, no one knows how to respond. How can our little nonprofit stay open because everyone around us is closing schools, bigger infrastructures? How can we remain flexible and continue offering services? So really closing was never an option. We knew that our immigrant community was more than ever going to be looking for answers and those that they trust in the community.
Right.
So we quickly pivoted, like you mentioned, and added phone lines. Everyone went to work from home. But yeah, I think continuing to grow our team is what one of our focuses will be, so we can continue offering the programs that we've started.
That's so wonderful. That's so wonderful. Now we have a few more questions, but I want to come in here. So you obliquely mentioned it, Mary Rita, at the beginning, but how has Nuestra Casa's mission fit in with the commitment of the Holy Name Sisters to the full development of the human person? I know you want to answer that.
Well, yes. So, you know, to start with, the Sisters of the Holy Name started serving young girls, right? And educating them back in Quebec because they weren't being educated. So who wasn't educated in the lower Yakima Valley? It was the immigrant women. So the education is very strong. And we haven't mentioned, but there have been women's justice circles who actually influenced state legislation on the Wassel test when they had it. Even some of the volunteers have learned enough from us to know that some of the laws need to change. And so we've always done, and when there's a Catholic Advocacy Day, we're, even though we have to travel across the state in snow, we would be present in Olympia to lobby for whatever it was, for the immigrant children, funding for education, whatever the issue might be.
That's great. That is great.
I would like to ask both you, Mary Rita, and Katie, especially you, Mary Rita, at the beginning, what were some of the challenges you faced?
Well, one was, you know, the funding. And Actually, recruiting Spanish-speaking women who could be on our staff and shared the same passion for helping the immigrants. And so, you know, we wanted to be able to pay if they needed health insurance, their health insurance. We wanted to, you know, give them sufficient time off. And family always came first. So if a child was sick and they called in, can I not come in today? It was always, yes, we'll figure out how to manage without you. So the challenge, and now it's been really met with Katie Padilla being the executive director, and with an immigrant herself, as a child, as a baby, a graduate of Heritage University, which brought me to the Valley to start with in 1981. And now all of the paid staff and regular full-time staff are Latina women. And there's another graduate of Heritage University working, and a couple who are now going to Heritage University. So that whole recruiting of staff and volunteers, you know, we were able to do quite a bit because of the volunteers. Actually, the sisters didn't get paid. We were volunteers and continue to be volunteers. You know, the sister and I continue to teach English as a second language here. So that has helped, and collaborating with the police departments to do the driver's education, collaborating, you know, we had a legal issue, collaborating with Columbia Legal Services. I mean, there was just, so we had to collaborate. In order to be effective, we had to collaborate. One of the things, that we taught ESL evening classes in 5 different local churches 1 year, because there was such a demand and we got more volunteers. And so there were 5 different churches in town where we actually taught English as a second language, have collaborated with the school district on various things, have a contract now that the director preceding Katie actually got with the school district to contract that they would pay for any student who was who had a child in the Sunnyside School District. They'd pay and also buy the book. So, you know, some of that, the collaboration is extremely important. And we managed how to do that, you know, with the city, with the school district, with other, now Katie's doing a lot of that with state agencies.
Yeah, and I think, you know, kind of speaking on the challenges, collaboration in itself and partnering is challenging for many reasons. And for us, I think it's important and we're willing to take on the challenge, especially when making sure that those folks offering services that our immigrant community needs, making them accountable to equitably serve them. While still remaining in partnership. A lot of times we'll see these bigger setups or bigger groups come to us, hey, will Nuestra Casa do this? Well, we're a smaller team. How can we help you offer it better? We can be that bridge. Yes, we have access to students, but that doesn't mean that Nuestra Casa wants to recreate what you are doing, and just having that conversation and being like, hey, we totally support this, but we feel that your organization should be offering it. This is what we suggest. A lot of times those conversations are tough, but if you know, the community is really at heart of, and you know, at the heart of what needs to be done, We've managed to do that really well without adding more burden on Nuestra Casa.
Oh, wonderful. Boy, Collaboration is so important. It's the name of the game, isn't it? And it sounds like you've done that right from the beginning.
Right. So what about a few success stories? You can tell about Katie, Marita, but I'm sure you have a few other ones that you want to tell us about.
The fact that when we had the women's justice circles, the women, there was this mother of five who, I don't know what grade she'd gone to, but, you know, not that educated, but very passionate about her kids' education. She ended up going to the school board and speaking. And one of the Hispanic administrators wanted to speak for her. I said, no, Luce can speak for herself. That was Luce Balderas. We met with the state superintendent of schools. She spoke eloquently and had also done that with a state legislator. We'd had meetings with state legislators and, you know, superintendent of schools. Superintendent of schools, when he met with a group of immigrant women and men, a lot of them brought their husbands about this. Later, he was telling somebody about it. He said, wow, he said, if you want to get the parents out at school, you just have Nuestra Casa sponsored something. He said, there were 100 parents there that night. Well, you know what? Wow. Or like 30 or 35. Perception of power. He knew that those 30 or 35 parents had a lot of power.
Through the Nuestra Casa and your programs and others, they were empowered to stand up and speak on their own behalf, which is wonderful.
Yes, and that was amazing with this Luce, you know, shy. When she first came to the ESL class, I could hardly get her to talk, but she didn't let the state legislator who visited, she said, so what are you going to do? And he said, well, you know, I wasn't in the state legislature when they voted on it. She says, I know, but what are you going to do now?
Good.
That.
Good.
And he said, I'll put Sister Mary Rita in contact with the chair of the education committee in the House of Representatives, which did happen, by the way. But it was because of Luce.
Isn't that wonderful? Wonderful.
I think Katie wants to say something.
No, I think the positive ripple effects that Nuestra Casa creates produces different successes on different levels every day. From me recently getting having a conversation with the current board member at the school district, telling me how if it wasn't for Nuestra Casa and the work that we've done together, how they've seen us collaborate, they wouldn't have probably understood how important it is to have a Latina woman be on the school board. She specifically took it upon herself to go reach out to make this woman feel and understand that she did have what it takes to be on the school board. To now she's on the school board. We have one of our participants who was in ESL for about 2 years, has been working at a canning facility for 10 years since she immigrated to the United States. Recently became a citizen. Throughout her time here in Nuestra Casa, conversations that she's had with different staff, she found that she really found the confidence she needed to leave the canning position she had, and now she is a substitute teacher at the school district. She's like,
amazing.
I would have still been there, because a lot of us told her, you know, we're in an agriculture community. That job will always be there. Like, feel and do what's in your heart. If that's what you want to do, you can do it. All she needed was that extra support to learn the language and just feel supported by community to do that. A lot of times we told her, parents are probably most likely going to relate to you more than another teacher who doesn't speak their language. You having your accent is probably more relatable to them than someone who doesn't. So now she finished up her first year of subbing, and she still continues to come to Nuestra Casa. She continues to participate at a different level. She now leads the Ciclo Verde program that I spoke about earlier. So I think those successes We see at different levels every day, from getting calls from the Yakima Health District. Out of everyone, they reach out to us in the Lower Valley. How can we connect folks to vaccines? Would Nuestra Casa help us? I think that really speaks on our place in our community and how not only the immigrants reach out to us, but our partner organizations as
well. Thank you. Thank you so much, Katie. What wonderful work that you started, Mary Rita, and that you're continuing with Katie and Mary Rita. Thank you both for sharing with us this inspiring story about Nuestra Casa. Nuestra Casa is a perfect example of how Holy Name Sisters and their colleagues continue to cast fire, the fire of God's love throughout the world. Thank you, and keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Thank you.